This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Bubich and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Excited to bring on our friend, Mr. Matt Paris from New Orleans, Louisiana. Paris covers the Saints. A lot of folks probably remember him from his work here with the Washington Times covering the Skins. What's up, Paris? How are you, buddy?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
What's happening?
Two guys of note I really want to talk to you about. Let's start with the guy that Washington signed in Will Harris. What did you see from him last year in New Orleans?
Yeah, you know, he was a pretty solid signing. He was one of those minimum type guys who really exceeded expectations. I mean, safety looked like it was going to be a disaster for the Saints in training camp because they couldn't find a starter opposite Tyrann Mathieu. They even explored signing Justin Simmons during that time. But as camp progressed, you know, Harris emerged and he kind of locked it down. You know, once the season started, he really, you know, had that starting spot. The only time he missed was because of a hamstring injury. You know, versatile, was mostly of their box safety, but the way the Saints use their safeties, they kind of play both positions, free and strong. So really solid, good hitter. And there's obviously some familiarity with Harris in Washington's front office with Lance Newmark, who drafted him in Detroit. So I think it's a real solid fit.
That's great. As you compare him to Jeremy Chinn the year before, Harris seems to have a lot more versatility. He's played all over in Detroit. I mean, it seems like his role was pretty locked in with the Saints. But prior to that, what did you think of his ability to play multiple positions?
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing that, you know, was he going to do that in New Orleans? And they did at times, but he wasn't he wasn't like their nickel corner, for instance. His Detroit, what made his progression in New Orleans so interesting was because in Detroit, he, by the end of his tenure, he was mostly a backup. You know, he went from a starter, kind of was phased out of it at the end, and he had kind of a nice career resurgence. So while I think he can do multiple things, I wonder if, you know, maybe he's just best at safety rather than cornerback.
What would you say is the strongest part of his game? Like, they say the versatility, but what if they say this is the one thing he could bank on?
Yeah, Dennis Allen always described him as rangy. That was the thing that stood out, was he had a lot of range. Mentioned his speed as well too, but the range, you know, to cover ground, pretty hard tackler, but the range I think would be the number one thing.
All right, and that obviously helps on the back end. The solid tackling really helps. It's crazy what so much of defensive backs, and I know this drives you nuts, B, what, like, the tackling is such a lost art on the back end of defenses. Ooh. Where there's hitting. People try to hit, but there's, like, no wrapping, I would say.
Right.
Does he actually get guys down to the ground?
You know, I have to go back and look at it more. I mean, the Saints as a team were terrible tacklers last year. It was, like, one of their biggest issues on defense. So I think he's individually okay. Like, he doesn't come to mind when I think of, like, the Broncos game, for instance, was just horrible last year from a tackling standpoint. But, you know, they did have a lot of missed tackles, but I think he was okay in that area.
All right, there you have it. Talking to our friend Matt Paris here, writes for the New Orleans Times Picayune down there in the Big Easy covering the Saints. You can give him a follow at Matthew_Paris, P-A-R-A-S. Chase Young gets a big deal from the Saints. He was pretty good when Washington played them last year. I think he's kind of learned who he is as an NFL player, and it doesn't appear that he's ever going to have that really high ceiling pass rusher 17 sack season, but he's still a really helpful player. Tell us about the deal, and were you surprised to see it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the contract kind of reflects what you just said. It was 3 years, $51 million, $17 million per year. I think that makes him the 19th or 18th highest paid defensive end. Like, that's solid starter money, and that's what he was for New Orleans. You know, he didn't come in and blow the roof off. Still only finished with 5.5 sacks. Like, wasn't the best year for him sack production-wise, but his pressure rate was 16%. That was a career high. Ranked top six in pressures, according to Next Gen Stats. Like, he had a solid year, and I think, you know, the biggest difference from covering him in Washington is he just fits in a lot better than maybe he did. You know, there's weren't those expectations for him to be an absolute game changer. He didn't necessarily frustrate coaches as much, you know, with freelancing and those sorts of things. And so he had kind of a solid year, and I think to your point, JP, is, you know, he kind of knows who he is now and is a lot more comfortable with that.
How was when he got that contract, are a lot of the fans down there happy with it? Happy with the fact that he got the deal, he's coming back?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they pretty much, I don't know this for absolutely certain, but Paulson Adebo left and signed with the Giants, and he's making $18 million a year. And with Chase Young making $17 million a year, it looks like they prioritized edge rusher instead of cornerback. And that, I think, people are okay with. And, you know, maybe they would have liked to see a bigger splash there, but, I think they're okay and happy with the contract, all things considered, because they didn't break the bank for him. I mean, it's pretty reasonable money.
All right.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
So, you know, there was some, I think to call it news is a little overblown, but basically New Orleans was the only job left, and Kingsbury said he's sticking around in Washington for a year. That made it pretty clear he didn't want the New Orleans job to me. And yet, you start fresh with Kellen Moore there. This Derek Carr thing makes it impossible for anything else to happen. When is this god-awful Derek Carr deal over, and who the hell signed him to that?
Yeah, it's Mickey Loomis did, and he's still the general manager here. The reason why, I mean, when they signed him originally, it was 4 years, $150 million. Like, that's reasonable money for a starter. It's middle of the pack. The problem that the Saints get themselves into is because they're so up against the cap is – they've had to restructure a lot of these deals. His is the easiest to restructure because it creates the most room because it's the biggest number. So because they've done that 2 years in a row now, he's facing a $69 million cap figure next year. They can move on from it technically, but it would leave like $59 million in dead money. And it is entering the last year of his deal, you know, in 2026. So, you know, the big question was down here whether they were going to get rid of him just to eat the money all at once, but that's not really this organization's philosophy. They want to push it. They want to try and compete for the division. And they were so hurt on offense last year, they kind of looked at it and said, okay, well, I think these players are good, and it was the coach's fault and the injuries. And so they've changed the coaching staff. They made some changes on the sports science side, but they're still betting on the players themselves.
Wow. So, I mean, I know they had that hot start, but, like, I was listening to, I think it was Russillo's podcast this morning, and he kind of just described the Saints have become this just irrelevant NFL outpost. And that just sucks because when they had that thing cooking with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, it's such a cool city, and the the life and the culture that surrounds football down there is so great. But, I mean, I guess maybe they're competing for the NFC South title. Like, what do they have? Like, what are they telling their fans to buy season tickets for next year?
I mean, yeah, I guess a lot of fans here are frustrated. I mean, it kind of reminds me of, I mean, it's not nearly as bad as it was under Snyder, but it reminds me of, you know, that general, like, apathy where people start kind of tuning out. You could just tell when the city is really locked in. Like, when they started 2-0 last year, there was just a buzz around the city. Like, I was at a concert.
Believe me, I heard.
Well, hell, when the Skins started 2-0 after the Denver game and they went 4-13 Rods last year.
Yeah, no, it's like it was like that. I mean, people were so excited, and it just kind of, you know, people need to see a major change, and they thought they were getting that with Kellen Moore. Like, that hiring went over pretty well here, given the process. You know, that coaching search was really dragged out. But I think this people here are very mixed, to put it politely, about Derek Carr, and I think him coming back did no favors to some of the fans who are already really fed up with the team.
Well, dude, how does Taysom Hill make this roster? He's got an $18 million cap hit with no guaranteed money. Are they actually keeping Taysom Hill at $18 million?
Well, the $18 million part, we'll see if that will be addressed. I mean, maybe they reach an agreement with him. I don't have the figure in front of me now, but the problem with a lot of these Saints contracts is because they've restructured them so many times, that actually, even though there's no guaranteed money left, they're still, like, you know, they've pushed money into the future with void years and those sorts of things. So I don't know what the dead money would be if they had just outright released him.
I'm just using over the cap numbers, and they may be wrong, but if you release him post June 1, you get on the right side of the equation.
Okay.
Pre-June 1, you get crushed. But, like, I guess my bigger position
time to
is,
get out of that Taysom Hill deal.
Dude, you know, Taysom Hill has
they were paying him money to be like a utility player.
Was that Loomis also?
Yep.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Look, I grew up down there in Paris, and believe me, the Drew Brees years was good. The rest of them, not.
Right. No, people are, you know, finding out how hard it is to find a quarterback in the Drew Brees era. I mean, it really does remind me of, you know, I mean, even though Derek Carr will be the starter third year in a row here, it does feel like, I mean, even Spencer Rattler played a lot last year. I mean, he played 7 games, and so there were, you know, you're writing quarterback profiles every week, and it's...
Hell, Rattler almost came back and beat the Commanders.
But that was because of the referees.
Who was the other dude that started? Who's the dude that started with a weird neck?
Jay Kaner.
Yeah, that guy is not an NFL quarterback.
He said a weird neck.
I feel bad, Paris. Like, a lot of fans feel bad for John Allen because he endured so much junk here and now is leaving. Now, hopefully they win in Minnesota. I like John. I root for John. John also made a lot of money to endure the junk. You just worked for a newspaper and endured the junk. And then you left before the going got good, and now you might be back in the junk, dog.
You're saying that newspaper money isn't the same as NFL?
No, it's not. I don't know what to say there. Isn't Mickey Loomis is the GM of the Saints and the basketball team, right?
I think he is.
He's not necessarily. No, he's not the basketball team. At one point he was, but they've kind of now separated that. Dennis Lauscher is the team president, who, you know, is basically like the Jason Wright. He kind of has, you know, some influence over the Pelicans as well. But I mean, in terms of general manager stuff, it's David Griffin on the Pelicans side. But yeah, I mean, those two franchises are connected, and God, I mean, the Pelicans are a mess too. It's not a bright time to be a New Orleans sports fan here, I guess, unless you count LSU, but they're in Baton Rouge.
Well, you got good food.
Yeah.
If you got to be in a city with bad sports, New Orleans has plenty of distractions.
You got good food, man.
Absolutely, man.
I fear, is the only hope down there that the woman sells the team? Like, is that where we've reached for the Saints?
No, I don't think so. I mean, not yet. I mean, some fans maybe want that, but it's not nearly to that. You know, I haven't seen, like, sell the team chants or bags over their heads like it was near the end of Snyder.
yet. Well, the Snyder thing, I don't know.
Well, they used to wear bags on their heads down there before, but
that's
I have a text thread with nothing but people from Louisiana. That whole text thread won't hurt to sell the team, believe me.
Sure, yeah.
They wanted to sell it.
So you like the Will Harris move, though, in short?
I do, yeah. Yeah, solid signing, good money. I mean, it was, you know, nothing crazy. He's a solid player. If they open that spot up in training camp for a competition and he gets beat out by somebody, okay, maybe not. Like, maybe that happens, but it's a worthy, like, let's take a flyer on this guy at a reasonable price.
There you have it. All right, Paris, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you making time.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, Paris. Take care, buddy.
At @Matthew_Paris, P-A-R-A-S. How about that, Jeffrey? A little optimism starting to surround Mr. Will Harris. Rooster and Paris in on it. Nobody go anywhere. We got to make some bets.